is just kind of interesting how the whole weekend goes, the whole week goes from Passover to everything that God does, that Jesus does, and then to the crucifixion, and then the resurrection. It's amazing what he does, and I'm excited. I'm excited to share what God has put on my heart today. Two things I want to do before that. I love it when God likes to do things. Do you like it when God does things? More than just sermons? I mean, I love sermons. Don't get me wrong. I didn't always like sermons. Sermons were the most boring part to me in church service, I always thought, for a long time. Isn't it kind of funny where God would be like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna tell you to preach sermons, man, because you used to sleep during them. How do you know? Hey, what do you know? Even while my father used to preach, I still slept. It was amazing. I don't know. That might be the Lord saying, you shouldn't sleep, so. It's warning you, if you're sleeping in my sermon, he might call you to preach then. Oh, no. That would be interesting. But I love it when God does something else. So, my friends in the back. Hey, Rita. Hey, Steve. Love you guys. So, there's some friends of mine from Elam. So, we all graduated together. Had a good time up there at Elam. So, the Lord dropped something in my heart for you, Rena. It's not a rebuke. Don't you worry. But he said very clearly to me, he said, the winds of affliction are changing. So I don't know what that means. I know we talked about a few different things yesterday, and we had some great conversation, but he said the winds of affliction are changing. So I just want to say that I'm loving what God's going to do through that in your life, and I can't wait to see the testimony as well as the change that's going to happen. And he is so good to do great things. Amen. So good. Thank you, Father. Also, when I was praying, does anyone have any back pain? Has anyone been suffering with any back pain lately? Like, I would say right in this area, right in here, somewhere around there. So we got a few.
I don't have back pain. Can I stand in the gap for someone?
Sure, yeah, why not? Yeah, we can definitely do it. So when I was praying last night, I felt the Lord wants to touch that area on people's lives. So if you have that, would you just raise your hand? And I want everyone else to stretch your arms forth to these people right here. So Father, right now we thank you, Jesus, that you are the great physician, you are the great healer, and that God, you want to heal this back right now. So Father, I speak to bones, I speak to cartilage, I speak to ligaments, I speak to nerves, I speak to muscles, and I say, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Be healed right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your healing touch right now on these backs, Father. We thank you that this will be a testimony unto you, your grace and your goodness for all to hear. We thank you right now. For whether it may be that person or maybe someone else that's not here, that's represented, Lord, we thank you right now for your healing touch. And we say, thank you, Father. Healing, 100% healing. No more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more Tylenol, no more Advil, no more drugs, nothing of that, Father, right now. We speak complete healing right now in the name of Jesus over these backs right now. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, somebody. Isn't God so good?
Amen.
God is so good. He wants to touch everyone here in one way or another. So I just want to encourage everyone. If you want to encounter more of God, if your heart is hungry and you're like, yes, I got to have more of Him, then I would recommend come on out this Thursday at 7 o'clock, we're having our encounter meeting, and it's a meeting that has worship led by Pastor Ben Jones. It's going to be doing live worship for us, so it's going to be good. We had him here last time. It was great. God met us in an awesome way, and all it is a meeting of prayer and worship without the preaching. That's all it is. So if you like prayer, you like worship, this is the time to go. So this Thursday, 7 o'clock, sharp, we're going to have a good time, and I want to encourage everyone to come on out, have a great time in going in after Jesus, because he's doing some great things in this house and in that meeting. Amen? So, I was thinking about this message today, and did you know that I will forget about 90% of what I preach in about a week or two today? Do you know that? Did you know that? Preachers forget about 90% of what they preach in a week. Did you know that you will probably forget 90% of what I preach in a week as well? Did you know that? You're like, really? Like, yeah, you will. And it's okay. There's no condemnation or bondage for that. That's just how it is. We have so much information coming in at all times that we forget a lot of things. And it's okay to forget about things. But what I want to do today is I am praying that God gives you certain seeds and nuggets and that they will help you and your transformation with Him. Because you won't remember everything I said, and that's okay. I won't remember everything I said, and that's okay as well. But God's going to give you some things. He's going to highlight some things. He's going to give you some seeds today, some nuggets of truth today that you're like, yes, I'm going to hang on to that. And God's going to do great things. Amen. That's going to transform your life today into being more like Him. And I'm excited for you. Because when we get those nuggets of truth, when we get those nuggets of freedom, let me tell you something. Oh man, things start changing in our lives. And it's for the better. It's for the better, folks. So good. It's so good. Because she's like, yes, I'm becoming more like Christ. I'm becoming more like Him. Because that's what we're here to do, aren't we? You know? I mean, that's what we're trying to be Christ-like. We're trying to be Christians. You know? I mean, if we're not trying to be more like Christ, then what are we doing? I mean, really? We could be doing a lot of other things. I mean, really? I mean, and none of us are there yet. I mean, Pastor Kurt's pretty close, I think, sometimes, you know. Oh, he's like, oh, man, I wish you wouldn't. Talk to my wife and my kids. Andrew, is he doing okay? Is he doing all right? Oh, he didn't say anything. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, I feel bad there. Sorry, Pastor Kurt, sorry. I'll use Pastor Steve next time. How's that? Okay, all right. We're becoming more like Christ, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke 24, and we're going to talk about what the Lord gave me today. Because who wants freedom today? Amen. Don't us all want freedom? I'd say one thing. If you want some more freedom in your life, there's a series going on Wednesday nights. It's called, what's it called, Pastor Kurt? The
Identity Series.
Identity Series with Ray Light. Isn't it Ray Light? Yeah. And I love what he's doing right now. If you've already been, you know there's something going on with that. You can tell for the very first night. We had it last week. Was our very first time we had it. And boy, there was a lot of questions. There was a lot of discussion, a lot of good things going on. So I want to encourage you, that's something else we're doing. I've actually had a counseling session with Ray Light myself personally, and it was really good. It was really good. And I want to say, hey, if you want some freedom, you want some more freedom. Not saying you can't get it with Jesus, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if you want some things you want to go after, come on, Wednesday nights, every other Wednesday night, come on out, and you're going to have a great time. What time is that, Pastor Kurt?
That is at 7.
At 7. So it won't be this week, it'll be the following week. Put that on your calendars, your date books, and your phones, wherever you like. It'll be good. So Luke 24, 1-8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They found the stone rolled away in the tomb. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on, somebody. It's interesting to hear about this whole, that there's just so much in this that I could preach from. It's so good. There's just so much, but the Lord highlighted one thing that I really want to highlight, is he highlighted this. The main point is, why do you look for the living among the dead? And I thought about that. I was like, well, okay, you know, why do you look? So I dug around a little bit. I looked in my Greek. And I was like, okay, so I looked at Zeo, which is living. I looked at Meta, which is among, and Necros, which is dead. I looked at those things, and it says exactly what it says. Exactly. I was like, okay, the Greek says the exact same thing. So what's the importance of this? Why do you look for the living among the dead? So first of all, why do you look for the living? Their expectation was different than what was really going on, wasn't it? The expectation they found was going to be a closed tomb. They were still wondering how in the world they're going to get that big stone rolled away. Maybe the guards would do it. Maybe they wouldn't. They were wondering how they would do that and then have the burial spices with him, because that was the culture of the day. They were expecting to find a dead body. They were expecting to find a stone in front of the tomb. They were not expecting to have men like lightning appear beside them. Wouldn't that be pretty cool? Like lightning. Oh, man. I want to see some angels. Some of you are like, I don't know about seeing angels, man. I don't know about that. I want to see some angels. I want to partner with some angels. Could you imagine that? That'd be awesome. That's what we can do as believers. We can partner and see what God wants to do. But their expectation was they expected to see someone dead. How many times in our lives do we expect something and it's exactly what we expected? How many times are we expecting failure and we see failure? How many times are we expecting something nice and we get something nice? We're expecting these things because they're supposed to happen. Expectancy. But how many of you know that God can change things than what our expectations were? Why do you search the living among the dead? Why are we looking for freedom in darkness? Why are we looking for salvation in ourselves? Because that's what we're expecting. We're looking in the wrong places, expecting the wrong things. Church, we've got to get this expectation different. We've got to change our minds to the mind of Christ so that when we see a circumstance, we're like, no, that is not what it's supposed to be. That is not what God told me to be. That is not what he expected me to think. I am a new light, a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm not going to believe my old self any longer. I'm going to believe what the mind of Christ is telling me. I'm going to believe what the Word of God is telling me in this situation, no matter how dire and grim it can be. That's what's going on. We have to have the expectation of him, not the expectation of ourselves. And when we expect him as a living, breathing God, when we start expecting him to do great things, then he can break out of this little small box that we put him in. Because we're so good at putting things in a box. And it's not because we do it on purpose, it's just our limited nature. Thank you, Adam and Eve, for making the fall of man, because after that, everything has a limit. And we don't go outside that limit because we don't know what's outside that limit. The fall of man caused us to have limitations on God and ourselves. Expectations of only us. And because of the fall of man and because of this old sinful self, we stay there. But when we're brought in, when we get baptized, The old is passed away. Behold, all things become new. When we get that new mindset of Christ, when we become that new creature, when we have the salvation of Jesus inside of us, something changes. And we don't have to act, think, or be that way any longer. We can be new and made new. We can have relationship like no other. We can dream. We can have great expectation of what He wants to have in us and through us and do in us unlike anything else. But if we stay in that old mindset, we stay strapped to ourselves in sin, stay strapped and bound in our own strongholds, strapped to this old self, we'll never walk in victory. We'll never walk in freedom. Some of us have spent too long in that grave. Some of us have expected and said, hey, you know what? This is my life. This is what the hand I was dealt with. This is it. And maybe it's a tomb. Maybe it's a grave. You're like, well, this is it. This is as far as my family got. This is as far as I can get. This is it. Because that's your expectation. I'm here to say, get out of that expectation. Get out of that grave. Because God didn't put you there. You put yourself in there with your expectation. God wants to give you freedom. He wants to give you liberty. He wants to ignite your heart on fire for Him. And when you do that, there comes freedom in your lives. When you do that, there comes liberty. And you can break off those things that so easily entangle you and ensnare you in life. Let me just give you an example. How about this? You know, I'm speaking a lot of good stuff here. And maybe you're getting it, maybe you're not. And that's okay if you're not. Let me give you an example. You know, we have to wake up every day, don't we? Some days are a little harder than others. I think Sunday morning is the toughest day to wake up, personally. I've always thought it was that way. Monday morning's easier, but Sunday morning, for some reason, it was always a tough day. And there are some days on Sundays that I get a headache. I'm like, oh, goodness. I get a headache. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, now I have a headache. Now, I have a choice to make. Am I going to be who God's called me to be and realize the potential and realize the freedom in that? Or am I going to revert to my old self, what I was? And reverting back to my old self is like, oh, I have a headache. All right, that means my expectation is I'm going to have this all day. Yep. That means something bad's going to happen to me today because I have a headache. And then that means that things are not going to go my way at work because I'm having a bad day already. I couldn't get up. The line at Starbucks is going to be through the roof. Gosh, I can't even get my coffee on time. I'm going to be late for work. If you got kids, oh, great. My kids are going to be acting up. I know that's going to go wrong. Something's going to happen today at school. I know it. Somebody's going to get injured. Or someone's going to call off sick. And then I'm not even thinking about, you know, dinner. Oh, goodness, I got to prepare dinner at home. What am I going to eat? What are we going to do? You can see how it's spiraling because of your expectation. And some of us laugh because it's funny, but some of us are like, wow, he talked right about my day. Wow, it's amazing. We have that mindset. We're like, man. But if we're filled with Him, then when we have that headache, you're like, Lord, I thank You. For You've given me another day to live, another day to breathe. You've made me a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I am Your son. I am Your daughter. I am deeply loved by You. Perfected and loved by You. I have the expression of Your cross for me as while I was yet a sinner, You died for me. You love me and cherish me. You would do anything for me. And Father, I give myself to You anew and I serve You. A little different expectation, isn't it? A little different day. I was praying the other day. Well, it was actually Monday. the Lord was really putting this sermon on my heart 2 weeks ago, which is kind of funny. I like how he does that sometimes. And then he'll be like, and then he's like, I was praying on my way to work, because I like to have that worship time in the car. That's really, it's really nice time to have. And I was praying. I was like, Lord, give me freedom. Give me more of you. How many be more like you? And you know, when you pray things, sometimes maybe you don't really mean them. Do you pray things you don't really mean sometimes? Oh, Lord, give me patience. Wow, you a brave soul. Oh, Lord, give me perseverance. Give me more faith. Oh. Now, I'm not saying that to scare anyone. I'm not saying that. But God's like, hey, you're praying for it. I want to give it to you. Your heart's in the right place. Let's do it. So wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? I got to work. I work with people. That's all I need to say. That's all I need to say about that. I work with people. Jesus helped me and helped them. I got to work. And, you know, you have some people that you like being around and things like that. But then there's some people that you're not a big fan of. And some people that you don't hate, but you really are not a big fan of because they've yelled at you in the past and they did things to you that was mean and called you some things. And you're like, I'm just going to stay away from them, if possible. And then, wouldn't you know it, I was praying this prayer. I was like, all right, Lord, I want to get more freedom. I want to get things, this and this and this. I was praying like, and then I was like, all right, I go into work. Guess who the first person I see is right there for me to help them out? Oh, and I felt it. I really, the Lord just dropped it in my heart. He said, all right, let's see it. I was like, oh, man, Jesus. Oh, man. You really put me to the fire on this one, God. You really put me on the fire on this one. Because I'm not a big fan of this person. I'm not. And I'm like, all right, Lord, you're right. You're right. And so, with waiting on that person, waiting on that client, I was like, all right, let's go for this then. So I waited on them. Everything was good. Nothing happened. Nothing crazy today. I was very happy about that. But then I felt like the Lord saying, hey, you want freedom. You got to get over this. And I'm like, you're right. I do. This person doesn't really care. This person has no clue of what's going on. But that person, if I let them, will continue to have power over me because of my emotions, because of my expectations, because of my feelings that happened a while back. And I will be forever enslaved to that person. Because when that person comes around, it reacts. It triggers all these things that come back to my memory. So it's not that me avoiding her gives me freedom. It's me facing the issue, me facing and loving like Jesus loved that gives me the freedom. Because freedom is determined, freedom is not determined by your circumstances or feelings. Freedom is a place of identity. And when we identify as sons and daughters of Christ, then we have freedom. Then we can walk in freedom. Jesus says, love your enemies. Oh man, that's a fun one. Love your enemies. Love them. Pray for them. Oh, man. Everybody's popping up people in their minds right now. Boop, 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 boop. Yeah, no. Oh, I don't like that person. Boop, boop, boop. I mean, everyone's thinking of their enemies now. Certain group, certain things. Oh, enemies. No. No, 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 no. We're supposed to love our enemies. No matter what they do to you. Now, we are blessed, I will say, in the United States. Because enemies here have only limited access to hurting us. Or they might say something mean and then become an enemy. In other countries where Christians are, like in Egypt, if someone sees you're a Christian, they can just go and beat you up. So it becomes an actual Fear, it could be, by showing yourself as a Christian. The worst thing they might do is say or cuss you out or something over here. But in other countries, they can actually do something about it. But we're supposed to love our enemies. I mean, freedom. It's all about freedom. Are you gonna be free today? Are you gonna allow yourself to be free? Or are you gonna be letting other people keep you in check for the rest of your lives? Could you imagine if Jesus did that? What do you mean, Van? Well, let's think about Jesus here for a minute. You can see Jesus. We need a chair for this because this is need some visual. Could you imagine Jesus just sitting there early in the morning, just praying. He's like, oh, yes. Thank you, Father. Done some great things. Already done some great things, you know. And then he just starts like, his heart just starts. And then Peter comes over. Hey, Jesus, what's going on? And Jesus over here, I don't know. These people just don't love me. I mean, I feed them, you know, I cast out devils, I heal them, and they want to stone me and reject me. I don't know what to do sometimes. I just don't understand. And then you can see Peter over here. Oh, it's all right, Jesus. It's okay, buddy. It's tough. Dealing with these people is tough. And then we can see John over here. John's like, oh, let me just lay my head on your chest. And Jesus is like, no, I don't want to be touched right now. I don't want to be, I'm trying to get over this. Okay, John, come here. I need love. You know, come. I mean, can you imagine if Jesus acted the same way we do? Oh my goodness. I mean, that's what we do, isn't it? Let's be real. It's so true. Don't call yourself a liar. Because it's true. We get like that. I get like that. Maybe some people like Pastor Steve doesn't get like that, but I get like that. Where we're just like, I don't want to be around anybody. I want to be myself. Imagine if Jesus was like that. No, he's not. Because he has freedom. When we have freedom and we're walking in freedom and walking in our identity of knowing who we are in him, that changes everything. Jesus didn't have to be consulted by anyone. Peter, John, any of them. Judas betrayed him. The disciples walked out on him. The people he came to seek and save stoned him, sinners. He had all the power, all authority, and yet didn't use it to hurt anyone. The only people he chastised were the Pharisees because they were leading his people in the wrong direction. And even then, he did nothing to harm them. Even then, he would go out and heal. He was all freedom, all love. And that's what it is. So today, I want to encourage you today. Be free. Be free. Enjoy the freedom God has given you. Why do you search for the living among the dead? Don't be dead. Don't be caught up in a tomb of people that have ensnared you. Be around Jesus who sets you free. Because once you accept Jesus, once you get in with him, once you have a right relationship with him, once you get to know the truth, then everything changes. Everything changes. And Jesus is alive. He rules and reigns. No grave can hold him. No chain can bind him. No cross can break him. No devil can persuade him. He has all power, all authority. He is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present. He does not leave us nor forsake us. And he gives us love unconditionally for wherever we are. Come on, somebody. That's what our Jesus does. That's what our Jesus does. John, if you'd come up for a minute. Thank you, Father. Today I want to challenge you. If there's something that you're holding on to, release it today. Whether it's a person, whether it's a situation, whether it's something that's happened and experienced, or whether it's a lie that you've been believing and you're like, wow, Van, this is good. This is what the Lord is speaking today. This is what He's talking to me about. Today, get your freedom. He wants you to be free. But you have to walk out of that tomb yourself. He can't do it for you. He did it for you, actually, to be honest. He already did walking out. He gave you resurrection power. He gave you all authority. But it's up to you if you're going to live in freedom or not. And I want to encourage you, don't let anyone hold you back. Don't let anything hold you back from experiencing true freedom. Freedom from people. Freedom from our expectations. Freedom from what our generations have been done. From what our family's done. Live in freedom. I just want everyone to stand up, please, if you can. And John's just going to worship, and we're just going to worship today. And I want to give you a moment to respond to what God's doing already in your hearts. If you want to come up to the altar, you're more than welcome to. If you want prayer, we'll be more than willing to pray for you if you want. Or if you just want to come up and say, hey, I need to spend some time with Jesus alone. Because what you said, Van, is true. And it's been convicting my heart all message. I can feel the Holy Spirit. I can feel Jesus tugging at it to get rid of this thing, to forgive this person, to be free of this situation, to give these things to Him that I've been so worried or anxious about. As John leads us in a song, this is your time. It's your time. Your time to be free. No one else can do it for you. It's your choice. Do you want to live in freedom? Out of that grave, do you want to live free? Or are you going to stay in that tomb where it just keeps getting nastier and nastier and you won't be able to produce good fruit? Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, John.
Thank you, Father. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me.
Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Father. We're so thankful that you rose from the grave, Father. We're so thankful that you're living inside each and every one of us, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are great and you are greatly to be praised, O Father. We worship you today. We thank you for the new covenant that we can have, Father, that we can cherish, O Father. We thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary, the body that was broken, so by your stripes we're healed. We thank you, Father, for the resurrection and the life, Father, that the veil was torn, that we can have that relationship with you. You're so good. You're so good. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we leave today, Father, let us all leave changed, transformed, O God, into your image, becoming more and more like you. And when we have those things, Father, that try to so easily entangle us, whether they're situations or people or whatever's going on, that we'll remember what you spoke to us today about being free and not letting anyone have power over us. And just because we don't talk to them doesn't mean they don't have power. Just because we avoid them doesn't mean that we win. It means that we still are triggered by that. And Father, we give that stuff up to you, Father. We give those people, we give those situations, we give the anxiety, the feelings that go along, we just give them up to you, Father. We say, Lord, we want to be free. We want to be free. And when those people, those things come into our lives, we say, nope, nope, not going there. Because we're free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We thank you, Father. Bless, encourage, strengthen. Do great things, O Father, in us, to us, and through us today, as we are your light in a world that needs light, in a world that's very dark. We thank you, Father. We praise your name. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you would like some extra prayer, you can make come up. Be blessed today. Enjoy your Easter. And enjoy what God has in store for you. Amen.